Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad that you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a former lawyer turned entrepreneur. He follows a core principle in his own life and upon which his company was founded. That is, that one should leave everything and everyone better than they were before they met. By bringing positivity and abundance to others, you can't go wrong. He is the co-founder of The Art of Charm, a multi-million dollar business and an insanely popular website that teaches ordinary guys to become extraordinary men. He has spent several years abroad in Europe, South America, and the Middle East. He has also worked for various governments and NGOs overseas, traveled through war zones, and been kidnapped twice. He'll tell you the only reason he's still alive and kicking is because of his ability to talk his way into and out of just about any type of situation. Now, let's hack Jordan Harbinger. Before we get going, I want to take a minute to thank the awesome sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur, FreshBooks, for making my life easier and for sponsoring the show. What is the one thing that I am not good at? I am absolutely horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Like, I'm terrible at it. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and like me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. It goes beyond that now. I can fully integrate it with my credit card and my bank accounts, so I don't even have to worry about keeping track of my expenses. It does it all for me. Really, I think the only thing it doesn't do for my business is actually make the money. But it keeps track of it all on the other side, which is amazing to me. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another amazing guest today. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, who's the amazing guest today? I'm excited about that.
He'll come on mid-show, hopefully.
Okay. After I leave, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well.
Jordan, as an entrepreneur, okay, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Okay. This is going to be like so simple that it's probably going to be boring for you, but let me know. I've got plenty of boring stuff on my end. I follow up with everybody pretty religiously and I don't lose track of stuff. Is that lame, or should I come up with a cooler one, a cooler, fancier one? I'll expand on that. Obviously,
I'm not I like it. Yeah, no, I like it. It's really good.
The reason it's so funny because living here in San Francisco, I meet tons of entrepreneurs and I also meet tons of wantrepreneurs, and I travel to LA and New York and I get a lot of email, all that stuff all the time. So I meet tons of people who either want to start businesses or have small ones and are wanting to grow it to the level of where AOC, Art of Charm, is now and beyond, of course. And the one thing I've noticed is that their follow-up and their organizational skills are absolutely terrible. They've got their cool little schedule ones, calendars, and they've got their like virtual assistants doing this, you know, taking 18 emails to schedule a coffee meeting. They've got all that stuff. But what they don't have is a friggin' calendar that they follow every day, that they check religiously, that they make sure budgets their time for the whole day. They don't use simple tools like Boomerang to make sure their emails are being replied to. They don't schedule time to follow up with people in their network. They don't make introductions. They don't do any of that stuff. And that's the meat and potatoes. The unsexy meat and potatoes of creating a good business is creating that network, which is largely what we teach at The Art of Charm, but also making sure that you follow up and nurture it as well. It's like here's a crap analogy. Right. So it's like these entrepreneurs are going out and they buy this really beautiful plant from the nursery, the garden store or whatever. I shop for plant stuff. They go out and they buy the really nice plant and they're like, cool, this is my business. and they prune it and they put it in a vase, and it's a really nice vase that they sculpted by hand, and they put it in the window for sunlight, and then they go on vacation and they don't water it for 3 weeks, and they come home and it's dead and they're like, what the hell? That's how most entrepreneurs are networking. They do everything right, except then they just don't water it and nurture it. They don't follow up, and that's the end of it. And they wonder what happened when everything dried up and died. How did that happen? And the reason is because, you know, and I'll see this a lot. I'll see this even at events. I'll go speak and someone will be like, listen, this is exactly what I need. I have so many questions for you. And I'll go, great, email me. Almost nobody does. And then when they do, they might ask too much. And that's a whole separate topic, of course. But right. I just can't believe the lack of follow through. I'm like, listen, you know, if you went up and talked to Tim Ferriss or Mark Cuban or somebody else who you really thought had some great ideas for you, and they were like, yeah, shoot me an email. And then you just like couldn't get around to it because you were watching House of Cards. Shame on you. You're in the wrong business.
And okay, so the network, that makes perfect sense. A boomerang is one of the coolest tools I've ever discovered. And it obviously fixes that problem in a way, right? So networking, you say you put it on your calendar.
Right.
What do you divide it up, say? Like, is there a ratio between new networking, as in there's people that I should just send, say, 3 emails to a day to reach out to new people, and then I should also make sure to nurture who I'm already in contact with?
I mean, there's a lot of that. For example, my calendar is broken up into 15-minute increments, which is actually how iCal on my computer works anyway. And I don't mean that everything, I don't mean there's 87 15-minute increment blocks through my whole day, but at my day when I start scheduling it out around 8:30 a.m., I might have like trainer, an hour and a half block. It's all blocked. There's not big white gaps on my calendar. And the reason for that is because I don't want to have to think about what I'm doing at that time. Because when that happens, people go, Facebook, or they get lost in their inbox processing rubbish that is not urgent. I know that and then they go, oh, I don't have time for lunch today. It's like, well, you did, but you Netflixed or whatever. You know, you went on, you answered fan mail, which is something you should do, but if you have that, but don't let it overcome you. I mean, you can answer fan mail 3 weeks later and nobody's going to be offended. So there's a lot of stuff like that. And I have my shows planned out. I've got all my calls planned out. Everything is scheduled in advance. I don't want to have a list of 84 people that I need to call when I have time, because what that means is in a year, when I look at my to-do list on Christmas Eve, because I have nothing else to do and I'm trying to escape my crazy family, I look at that and I go, oh my God, I never did call those people, right? So that's a problem. You need to have these things planned out. And Boomerang solves another sort of pain point, which is you send an email and you don't have to go, all right, remember that John Nasser needs to reply to me. Remember that if I don't hear from him in a week, I need it. No, that's unrealistic. I'm sending 100+ emails a day. I'm not going to keep track of that. Boomerang does it automatically. So I recommend that. But in addition, there's contactually, if you're the type of person that I got lucky right now. So where I'm at right now, a lot of the networking events and things like that, they sort of happen to me. In that I get invited to a lot of really cool stuff. People are organizing stuff. I'm a guest there. So I'll run into people that I naturally want to keep in touch with at these things. I do an element of it manually using my CRM. And that's why I think people should use Contactually. What Contactually will do for you, and I can send you a video of how to use it if you're interested, you want to throw it in the show notes. What Contactually does for you is it gamifies you putting your contacts into buckets, like personal, business, podcast stuff, or whatever it is, travel buddies, all that stuff. And then over time, it'll go, hey man, you know, you haven't talked to John Nasser in a really long time. Maybe you should send him an email. Do you want me to do that? And what it'll also do is it'll say, hey, I noticed that John Nasser and Rich Brooks are both podcasting guys. Do you want to introduce those guys? And I'll be like, yeah. And then it'll sort of make that whole thing happen for me with a couple of clicks.
That's freaking awesome.
It's freaking awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, I've heard of it, and I thought it was kind of just a CRM, another one of them. And I was like, okay, I don't need another one of those. So that's cool.
No, you know what though? It is a CRM, but it does it right. It does it right. And it does a lot of things automatically for you. It's not just like a Rolodex. And I'm going to actually send you the link to how my friend John Corcoran uses Contactually right now. And you should watch, your peeps should watch this, because he's good at it. And he shows how to use it in a really effective way. and versus just me who's kind of like has somebody else figure out how to use it. And then it just does stuff for me sometimes when I use it. But John has a great system. John Corcoran's one of the best networkers around.
He is.
Smart. Yes. But you know him already. Big surprise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't actually even know him personally at this point, but I've heard about him so many times and I see him like on my Facebook all the time. And everybody I know is like, John Corcoran. So
yeah,
he's
good. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
All right, Jordan, there's a time in every entrepreneur's life. They realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or more simply, they just can't work for somebody else.
I'm both.
Nice. When did you make the realization that you were an entrepreneur?
Well, it's all 2020 hindsight, right? So it's the problem arrives when, let me sort of back up the truck here. I was a really bad employee when I got my first job. And I went to law school and I thought this is going to be really bad. This is going to be a really hard thing for me to transition to. They're going to figure out I'm useless here. Eventually I'm going to get fired. This is going to be like really suck. And so I was dreading it the whole time. And on the side, I'd sort of started this podcast and I felt like I'm pretty good at like hustling this stuff and making this fun and connecting with people and stuff like that, that I'd been working on. That was a skill set I was working on that spawned the show in the first place. And then I started The Art of Charm and it started going well. And then we started working at this. And looking back now, I was always like that. I mean, when I was a kid, I would sell things. And when I'd come up with business ideas with my friends and we would sort of like half-ass do it or just come up with the idea for fun and then like never actually do it because that part wasn't as fun for us. And eventually we found the idea that was fun for us to execute, which is The Art of Charm. And that's what we're doing now. But looking back, I always had like an entrepreneurial brain. I just didn't really know it. I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to be such a bad employee. I feel bad for the guy who's dumb enough to hire me, but I also need a job. So what am I going to do? You know, I'm in trouble here. I've got some growing up to do. And it was really hard. It was really hard. I still have growing up to do, but it wasn't just that at the time. Retrospect, hindsight 2020, it was, I'm not cut out for this. A lot of people who want to be entrepreneurs, they don't want to have a boss. That's not the right reason necessarily to go into this stuff. I didn't necessarily think having a boss was great, but I also thought it was great to learn people. I just thought, oh my God, I am completely unable to function in this environment. And part of that was being sort of an almost millennial. And the other part of it is just being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And why do you think that not having a boss is not the reason to get into this?
Because it's kind of like saying, I want to be healthy so that girls will think I'm attractive. It's like, no, you should want to be healthy because it's good for you to be healthy, not because you want a six pack so chicks think you're hot. You know, that's not how that works. If you're doing that for that reason, it's the wrong reason and it's going to lead to failure. Because if you don't want a boss, you know what? There's another way to not have a boss, and it's to not have a job at all. You can just be unemployed and you won't have a boss. No, but I also want lots of money. Cool. Well, are you going to want lots of money when there's not necessarily a promise on that return? So like you're working, it's 1 a.m. It's the third day in a row. You're not eating well. You're really broke. You live in your parents' basement. There's no end in sight to the tyranny of this project that you're working on. Are you going to care about the money then? Or are you going to be like Xbox? You know what I mean? It's much more likely that you are just going to give up at that point if you're just doing it for the money, because it's not enough to sustain you.
True. And well said. Okay, Jordan, let's move to work. So you say you schedule your day in 50-minute increments starting at 8:30 a.m. Right before that, you get up at some point. Can you walk us through, say, the first 30 minutes Jordan wakes up and sets himself up for this day?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people are like, I have my morning ritual, et cetera. And it's like,
I love the voices. There's like a Facebook voice. There's a Netflix voice. There's an Xbox voice. There's a morning ritual voice.
Yeah, it's
brilliant. I love it.
There's a lot of stuff going on here in my head that doesn't have a home anywhere else. And so, yeah, basically my wake up routine, let me think about this, because my morning routine isn't always the same. And the way that I wake up kind of varies. I mean, I'm a big proponent of getting enough sleep. So that's extremely important to me. And I'll sleep in a little bit if I need to, but I wake up, I usually go to my trainer on certain days when I have that, or I'll wake up and go for a bike ride if there's time for me to do that. And I get up, I have tea, but I drink like yerba mate. I don't do coffee. I sort of shook that habit because it made me jittery and I'm already hyper enough. And I don't necessarily shower or anything. I like to get ready for the day in that way, but it's not necessary for me. And I start focusing on what I have to do that day. Now, luckily, I've got the calendar routine down pat, so I already know what I'm going to do. And I think a big mistake that people make is not planning out their day the night before. I plan mine out, or I have my assistant plan mine out weeks before, if possible. And that's really helpful because then I know what I have to do. I know everything's ready. I know everything's going to go off without a hitch, theoretically. And then I start getting to work. And what I don't do is check my inbox, because that's a very reactive way to start the day. Now, if my business partner wants to get a hold of me, he has another way to do that other than email. So urgent things will get handled. But if you start diving into your inbox, what you're doing is reacting to all your customer service requests or whatever's in there that drives you up the wall, technical stuff, all kinds of little requests or problems that people are having, or negative, you know, haters. There's all kinds of stuff in there that you don't want to see at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I leave that for when I have time. I'll start the task out. I'll go exercise first. I'll get things done while I have a clear head. Because the last thing you want to do is be at the gym or on your bike going, man, that jerk wrote that email. Or, oh man, I got to remember to send that technical report to our IT guys. Because if I don't, man, the website's going to be blah, blah, blah. Chances are everything can wait. If there's something urgent, somebody else will know about it already. The thing about emergencies is when people can't get a hold of you right away, they don't happen. Isn't that funny?
It is funny, isn't it? But we all think that the world's going to end.
Yeah, but it's kind of, and we're probably wired this way, but it's more of a self-importance thing. Like, No, I need, and my girlfriend will be like, does this need to be done now? Because I'll be like, no, the image on this one page of our site is broken. It's like 11 p.m. We're watching a movie. And she's like, do you need to fix that now? It's been broken since 2009. Do you need to fix it now? And I'm like, no, but I can't resist it. I can't not do it. So that's a bummer when that happens, because obviously I like to have everything perfect. But as a business owner, that is the most wildly unrealistic thing ever.
Right. But how come we seem to be hardwired to have to fix that image at 11 o'clock at night when it's time to watch a movie? That's a very much, especially online entrepreneurs, we're just like, just we look at our site more than anybody. Half our page views are probably from us.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, and the littlest thing, it's like, really, does this have to be done right now? Is somebody not going to buy from you tonight because that image is broken? Like, they're not buying the image from you. That's not.
Yeah.
But we still, we nitpick and we just can't get ourselves over it. Is, I guess that's self-importance. It's trying to blow ourselves up in our head to like, look at how important we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially, yeah, it's essentially what it is. It makes us think, oh man, you know, this is something so dramatically important. I'm so dramatically important that this needs to be done right now. And I think it's because we're so obsessed with what we're doing that we figure other people have an equal level of scrutiny. But it's like looking at yourself in the mirror. You don't, I mean, nobody cares about the fact that you have a zit or an ingrown hair on your neck. And yet, man, try telling that to a teenager. It's completely unrealistic.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, Jordan, let's move on to struggles and failures. As human beings, especially, I guess, as entrepreneurs, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making a mistake, and failing. Can you walk us through how to be wrong?
Yeah, that can be tough, but I'll tell you right now, I've been wrong a hell of a lot more than I've been right. But, you know, the key is you get wrong so many times that you can't not eventually just purely accidentally get something right. And man, the whole entrepreneurial process is trying and failing. And I know that sounds cliche, but here's the thing. It's not trying and failing. You're just trying things that didn't work. And what's that like old Edison story where he tried like 999 ways not to make a light bulb or whatever? There is that. There is some element of that. I totally believe that. It doesn't make you feel better at the time when everything you've worked on for weeks blows up. But what I will tell you is this, and don't make stickers and graphic design and business cards and all this da, 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 for the logo that ends up being something that people hate. So test everything as early as you can. And we started doing that too. I mean, when we first started offering phone coaching 8 years ago at Art of Charm, which is our first offering from the podcast, we were like, okay, we don't really know how to do this, but we'll be really honest with our clients that call and say like, hey, we don't really know much about phone coaching, but we'll talk you through some of these problems like we would handle it. And it was a massive hit, and it led to our live training boot camps, which we have tested the crap out of and are really awesome. So we started early because what if we had created a website and an online payment gateway and business cards and stickers and a logo and a curriculum, and then we offered phone coaching and people were like, nah. Then we would have been really disappointed because there's so much sunk cost. There's a lot of money involved, a lot of time involved. And then, you know, when you go to your next offering, you just have that much less willpower to do it again.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to be wrong, you know, you can fail big, but man, I'd like my big failures to be really tightly packed balls of tiny little failures all, you know, rolled into one, not massive projects that cost thousands of dollars and then figuring out that they totally don't work and we're scrapping it. Those are hard lessons that can cause you to quit.
Yeah. Brilliantly said. And I agree that it is, I mean, it's cliche and it's even the question itself, but I love the answer that I usually get. So I have to ask it because it's all about it. We got to work through those things. But you took us to projects, right? So how in your business now, which is a substantial business doing well, how do you decide what a new project, whether it's a boot camp, like a live training boot camp, or a new form of consulting calls, or whatever it might be, a new podcast? How does a project get decided upon that it is something that you need or should at least act on to get to the testing stage and decide if people actually want it?
That's a really good question. I would say, you know, we now have these sort of guidelines, I guess, like, what are they called? There's probably some cool name for this, like core values that we run offers by. And we also, AJ and I are really good at running things by like gut check. So of sort of a lot of like online marketers are like, you guys need this little, you need this $10 offering, and then you need this $99 offering, and then you need this continuity offering, and all these business models that other people have done. And we're kind of like, nah, let's just do one continuity offering online and then the live offering because we're really good with that. Why? We don't want tons of different streams, more things to manage, multiple product offerings to confuse people as to what they need to do to get better. Just because at the end of the day, it's like, are we trying to help people? Yes. Like our core value is help people, leave up people better than you found them. So if we have 87 offers, but the point is just to get people's money, then that's not really helping people. You know, if we have one live offer that's priced appropriately and then one not live offer for people who can't afford the live program and want to learn remotely, then that's enough to cover the bases. And everything else we have, like networking, ebook, all that other stuff, we can throw that into the online offering as a value add.
There you go.
Because there's no point in selling it separately. So our business models differ a lot from really like these brilliant online marketers who figured out a way to squeeze a dime out of everybody.
Yeah.
And that's cost us money on the online front. But on the other hand, when we talk to online marketers, they can't even wrap their heads around how we make seven figures selling live programs. They don't even get it. It's not even a part of their universe.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, it's a brand new year, Jordan. What are you going to accomplish this year at Art of Charm that's going to make you just super, super happy that you had a great 2015?
Yeah, well, I want to rebrand what we're doing. So we're redoing our entire site and our sales flow. And we're taking out anything that's weird and markety-y, like all that stuff that's like, buy now, or like, hey, if you don't do this, you're a schmuck, or whatever the scarcity marketing stuff. We're getting rid of all that, which we hated anyway. We just had the wrong experts in here. So we're putting all kinds of positive stuff through. We're going to double the audience size of the show. And I know that sounds ambitious. Like those people are like, oh, I want to make $100,000 a month in passive income. But actually, we're actually going to double the audience. I have a very, very concrete plan for that and people in place that are going to help. And it's not something I need to test. It's actually contractually, it's an agreement I have with a larger network. So we got that going. I'm trying to do stuff without breaking that contract. That says where I can say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to be doing that. We're going to have a lot of really interesting folks on the show. And we've evolved our programs yet again. So we're going to be testing some new stuff in our current live programs to make it even better. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We hired a lot of people. I mean, this is a big year for Art of Charm and it's only January.
Awesome. I look forward to it, Jordan. And I have no doubt that you're going to hit what it is you're setting to hit.
I hope so.
So we've talked a lot about your business just in passing, Jordan. Can you leave everybody and tell them exactly where to find out more about you?
Yeah, sure. So if you're listening to podcasts right now, which by the way, you are, look for The Art of Charm in that iTunes or in that Stitcher or wherever you buy your free podcasts should be in there. And, you know, if you guys want to learn more about what we do at our live programs, go to theartofcharm.com and check us out there. People, you know, honestly, people can just email me. I'm Jordan at theartofcharm.com. But yeah, check out the show. That's where all the good stuff is, man. 365 plus episodes are there and counting.
Excellent. I will link to all of that in the show notes, make it easy for everyone to find, and email Jordan. Say hi to him.
Indeed.
Jordan, thank you so much for spending your time with us for this last 25 minutes.
Thank you, man. Much appreciated. This was fun.
Thanks. Take care.
You too.
Jordan, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. And I just appreciate you coming by, taking the time with us, because it's interesting. 8 years of a journey from starting a podcast sort of as a hobby, something you figured you were good at and that you could talk about, which was social dynamics. And you went for it as sort of a hobby. And now 8 years later, it is a multi-million dollar business as the Art of Charm. That's brilliant. I love it. I love the follow through. I love how you just sort of started building your audience and then you grew into this business. And I just truly, truly respect what you've done. And just thanks so much for coming by. Jordan, he's a smart dude. He's funny too. I love it. And he said so many cool things. I have a sheet full of notes here. But he said one thing, didn't he? He said that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Like core values that we run offers by. And we also, AJ and I are really good at running things by like gut check. So a lot of like online marketers are like, you guys need this little, you need this $10 offering, and then you need this $99 offering, and then you need this continuity offering, and all these business models that other people have done. And we're kind of like, nah, let's just do one continuity offering online and then the live offering, because we're really good with that. Why? We don't want tons of different streams, more things to manage, multiple product offerings to confuse people as to what they need to do to get better. Just because at the end of the day, it's like, are we trying to help people? Yes. Like our core value is help people, leave up people better than you found them. So if we have 87 offers, but the point is just to get people's money, then that's not really helping people.
And that's the hack. Jordan. Yes, exactly. So beautifully said. And I want to thank you for that. Two things Jordan covers. The first one is having the single offering and then the live offering, and how internet marketers just over and over and over are going to, or blogs everywhere out there is going to tell you the best way. This is how to maximize the sales funnels and the sales channels. And maybe those work for some people. Maybe they work for certain businesses. Maybe if that's what you want to do, then they work for you. But Jordan, you are absolutely successful in your business and you're killing it. And you're doing it with one, because you've chosen to do that, because you're doing it with confidence, and because it's right for you and your business. And that's awesome. And that is just so absolutely necessary. Confidence in what you are doing, and stop worrying about what other people are doing. Stop worrying about what everybody's telling you to do, and just do what it is you feel in your gut, or what is your core value. Do what that is and do it to the best of your ability. And don't worry about what the internet marketers, don't worry about the blogs, don't worry about what the experts tell you to do. Do what you need to do for your business and do it with confidence. The next thing he covers, though, is his core values, which is a really cool thing. And most businesses don't even have this. The core value of just trying to help people and leave things better than they were when you met the person or got there. And that's really, really powerful. And it probably costs him a lot of money, a lot of sales in certain ways, but it doesn't matter because he can sleep at night and he's happy with the people that he does get to help. And he's happy with just everything about his business is done to a core value, which just makes like a business that just makes money. I forget who said this, but it's a famous saying. The business that just makes money is kind of not really a good business. It needs to do something better. And that doesn't have to save the world. It doesn't have to do those sorts of things if that's not what your core value is. But you should have values. Your business, if it's in a service or a product, it should be to help somebody or to make somebody's life easier or better or some sort of thing. And you need to stick to that over making money every single time. And you will come out like Jordan, just soaring on top, because that's just the way business works. So Jordan, thank you. That's two sort of hacks melded together. And it was beautifully said. And I truly, truly, truly thank you for that. And that is that. Another kind of killer episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, if I got to say it myself. Have you been to the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com? We are getting a complete redesign right now, and it's going to be amazing. I'm just super into it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be another couple weeks, but I'm looking forward to getting it out to you. But you'll see a picture of me up at the top there, and I've got an email submit beside it. Put your email in there and get on my email list. Once a week, every Sunday afternoon, I'm sending out what I'm working through, my best sort of hack, the best thing I've come up with what I've dealt with in my business and dealing with and talking to these amazing entrepreneurs throughout the week. And that's the only place that I am sharing it. So just get on there and do that. iTunes, 242 five-star reviews. Every single one of them, I thank you so much. I truly, truly do. You have no idea how much it helps the show and how much it helps me and how much I appreciate it. If you haven't, it literally takes 2 minutes. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. Go there, leave me a review and a rating, and I truly, truly would appreciate it. If you are on the web, you'll go through hacktheentrepreneur/iTunes. If you're on your phone or just in iTunes, just look up Hack the Entrepreneur or John Nestor and just leave me. It takes 2 minutes, seriously, and it helps so much. And it allows me to get more amazing guests like Jordan. It has been a lot of fun. As always, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for taking the time to just do this with me. It really, really, really is fun. You can reach me if you get on that email list on the site. You can reply to any email. Reach out. Tell me what's up. Tell me what you need help with. Can I help you with something? Are you stuck on something? Or just say hi. Why not, eh? It's fun. All right. I'll leave you now. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.